Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast and part three of our three-part interview with financial expert Ken Rupert. He's the founder of the Financial Black Belt Academy. We've been talking about this for the past couple episodes. Today, he's going to start off by telling us about a competition, the Hood College Pitch Competition that he won, and the money he won from that, and how he's helping to grow his business to be able to help you. He's also going to talk and share with us about what he learned from studying billionaires and the strategy you can use right now to begin the march down your financial road of independence through his black belt system. It will encourage you and it will provide for you, provide for your family, provide for your future. But right now, let's jump right back into our interview and conclude our interview with Ken Rupert. Yes. First, tell us what the competition was all about and how you qualified for it. And we know the results. You won the best in the pitch, but when I was looking at it, there was more than just three people. I mean, they had different levels that you had to pass through.
Correct.
To do all this. So tell us all about that.
Correct. So this is a God thing, right? I mean, when you think about it, I, on a whim, said, I think I'll pitch the Financial Black Belt Academy. You know, I don't know. I'll just put it out there. It's my alma mater. It's where I graduated. I have a four-year degree from Hood, so as an alum, I could compete. So I submitted my information, and you basically do it. You sign up, and then you have to submit a slide deck kind of outlining your entrepreneurial idea. And so I did that. And lo and behold, I got contacted and told that I had made it to the round of eight. And I was kind of shocked, actually, because there are a lot of good ideas out there. But I made it to the round of eight, and at that point, I had to do a phone pitch. So I had to actually call in and talk to the selection committee and pitch it verbally.
Okay.
As they looked at the pitch deck, I had to then pitch it verbally. So I did that. And I felt like I did okay, but I wasn't necessarily thinking that I was going to go much further than that. And then I got the email that said, you've made the final four, which automatically gives you $1,000 because the fourth place prize, fourth and third place was $1,000. So you automatically won $1,000 at that point. So then I had to figure out, okay, now how am I going to stand up in front of a crowd in front of some business owners and venture capitalists, because I had never, ever done anything like this before.
Amen.
But, you know, I fell back on what God put in me. He has created within me a certain temperament. And just as I never really cracked a book in college to study to pass, yet I always got A's. I just knew the material from sitting in class and taking notes and paying attention to what the instructor was saying. I was able to earn a four-year degree with a very high GPA. So I told my wife, I said, you know, I could lock myself down to a script, but if I lock myself down to a script, I know myself, and I'm going to become very dependent upon that script.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm just going to wing it. So I studied the slides in order, so I knew exactly what each slide was talking about. But the verbiage that I was going to use was not going to be scripted.
Right.
I was just going to get up there and talk about the slide and the information on the slide. And once I was given the microphone and the pitch time started, you had 8 minutes to do the pitch, I instantly walked out to the edge of the stage and started talking to the audience, and then occasionally would look at the judges. But I wanted to engage with the audience. And my story really starts, as I started this story, with my son being born, mm-hmm. and the trauma of being thrown into a caregiving role and realizing that I've got a larger financial responsibility. And he is my motivator.
Yeah.
He is the purpose and the reason why I do what I do. And of course, when you're talking about debt and student loan and you're at a college, it rings true.
Yeah.
And at the very end, I walked out to the edge of the stage and I sat down on the edge of the stage and I had my son stand up and kind of lumber over to me. And I sat him kind of up in my lap and I told him, I told the audience, I said, as you can see, my why has gotten bigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Financial Black Belt Academy does not exist to tell you what your why is, because each one of you out there knows what your why is. What we exist to do is help you find your how.
Mm, amen.
And that's the key. Everybody out there that's listening today and that will listen in the future, you already know what your why is. The question is, has it gotten big enough for you to need to find your how? And if it has and you don't know where to start looking, I would say that the Financial Black Belt Academy's Financial Self-Defense Training is the place to start, because it will help you find your how so you can accomplish your why.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Yeah, and congratulations on winning that. Hallelujah.
Yes, I really, amen. It's been a good April.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, in today's society, you know, uncertainty is really the only certain thing we can count on. How can someone get control, take control, keep control of their finances when you really don't know? I mean, in today's, you know, modern age, there is no guaranteed job for 30 years and then a gold watch and you go off into the sunset. You know, you may, and I've lived this, you go into work that day thinking, you know, like my military career, I walked in thinking I had 8 more years to go till I retired and walked home with my clearance papers in hand, you know, because of the downsizing. And I've had a couple other jobs like that. Went to work thinking, you know, okay, everything's good. I'm, you know, moving along just fine. And then at, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm leaving and unemployed. I mean, that's just the climate we live in. So how, in that uncertainty that we live in, how can someone actually take control of their finances when they're just starting off with your program? Put it like that.
Well, that's why the program starts at white belt, right? I mean, everybody comes into the program basically as a no belt, and they learn financial. They learn the language of finance. So we're going to teach them some basic financial terms and terminology that they're going to hear throughout the program. So they're not kind of behind the eight ball on that. Mm-hmm. But as they move into it, that's why we start with the income distribution strategy. You've got to get that sense. Now, I can tell you from experience. So I started this program, like I started developing it 18 years ago when my son was born. In that time, I've been laid off 3 times. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, we've incurred a lot of additional maintenance costs with just having to provide my son with things like a transport chair.
Yeah.
My son has special medical needs that require certain types of equipment, so that is at our cost. Mm. In that time frame also, my son has gone through 11 surgeries.
Yeah.
And each one of those requires a complete summer of recovery.
Yep.
And what you know, there comes a point in time where you have to be willing to sacrifice. So on the front end, the person is going to establish the IDS, the income distribution strategy, and they're going to have to learn the process of sacrifice. When you walk into a martial arts studio, you're a no belt, and you get paired up with somebody who's a much higher belt, and they're trying to show you ways to, in Hapkido, which is the form I study, they have what's called joint locks. And the first thing you learn is 13 different joint locks before you take your first belt test. So when you're moving from white belt to yellow belt, you have to learn 13 joint locks. Now, the only way to learn the joint lock is for somebody to do it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel a little pain in the process, because you start to learn that when you're doing it to somebody else, you know what they're feeling.
Right.
Because you felt it. So when you start the process of going from white belt to yellow belt in a financial sense, you're going to feel some pain as somebody shows you the process that you're going to have to go through. But each time you get better and better, more proficient, you're still the whole part of the training, and this is like life. You go through life. I don't think you can go through life without feeling some level of pain, whether it be a job loss, whether it be some of the other setbacks. Like, I think about how many opportunities I have lost because my son has disabilities. You know, he probably won't get married. He will never drive. He will probably never hold down a job. I can't even imagine some of the things that the average person is allowed to participate in, especially as a parent. They get to sit back and watch their son or their daughter achieve something. Those achievements will never be my reality. And there's a lot of pain with that sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to watch other kids achieve, and you want to be happy for them and their parents, but at the same time, there's that little bit of part of you that says, ouch, that really hurts, because I can't experience what that joy must be like. Yeah. So there's pain throughout life. And we try to, obviously, the idea in martial arts is to neutralize the threat and to attack the opportunity or to seize on the opportunity. So every time somebody throws a punch and you block it, that block is neutralizing the threat. But when you do that block, you actually open up the other person to seize an opportunity,
right,
to stop the attack. It's the same thing with financial principles. We want to neutralize financial threats. The way we do that is we create a high capacity emergency fund. We create a highly functioning income distribution strategy. We eliminate debt. We do all these things in the first six belts to neutralize the threat. Then we go on the attack and we seize the opportunity that neutralizing all that threat has created. Because when you have no debt, you can now apply that money that was being applied towards debt. It can now be applied towards growth.
Yeah.
And when you start growing your money and your money starts making money for you, it starts reducing the amount of stress. It's going to be stressful at first. It's going to be painful at first. There's nobody that walks into a martial arts studio that doesn't suffer pain. I've been at it for 4 years now, and I have had injuries where I've had to just take a couple months off. It's part of the process of the growth. But being that I'm becoming more proficient, if I was in a situation where I was being attacked, I could defend myself and not have to worry about that pain because I've learned how to adapt to it.
Yep.
Same thing financially, right? When the financial threat comes, when you get laid off, when you have a major medical situation, when you have to have a roof replaced, you are already positioned to neutralize that threat. And that's what the program does. It literally puts people in a position where their growth then is based not on how much they make, but on how much their money can make for them.
Amen. Now, what are some of the more, I guess, common financial hurdles that you've run into that people try to attain, but they continue to run into these roadblocks and problems?
Well, the first one is getting rid of debt. When I first got married, I was very creative. I had two credit cards, and I would just keep rolling the debt from one credit card to the other, never really having to make a payment on it. I kept incurring interest, but I would just write a check from one paycheck or one credit card and pay the other credit card with it. So I'd basically transfer the balance. And then I would use that credit card, and then I'd have to write a bigger check from the other credit card to transfer the balance back. I was very creative with how I didn't have to pay debt, but the problem was I kept getting deeper and deeper, right? You can't dig your way out of a hole.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
So overcoming that, I had car payments when I first got married. When my wife and I first got married, she was much better financially off than I was. So we committed together to overcome that, and we were able to overcome it. And the mentality that we applied was simply this: we can always do more together than we'll ever be able to do independently of each other.
Amen.
And that I believe is just a good marriage philosophy, is always work together. Well, so that was one, getting over the debt and the spending that I had become very accustomed to doing was a major roadblock. Then investing. I when we were 3 years into our marriage, we decided that we were, you know, maybe we should start investing. So somebody had told us about this financial planner who would take people for free if they were referred. And so our friends referred us. And so I'm sitting there in his office, and he's talking about all this great stuff and everything, and he's talking about these mutual funds that he wants to put us in. And I asked him, I said, well, I just have to ask you, how do you make money if you do this? Because if I refer 10 people to you, that's 10 people you're basically giving your services away to for free. And he says, well, he goes, you know, I have other paying clients. He goes, so, you know, I'm able to do this. And I was thinking, that's just kind of weird. I just don't, there's something about that that I don't get. Well, after a little research, after we got started investing and stuff, after a little research, I noticed that he was always putting us in loaded funds. And so I asked the question, I said, well, what about this no-load fund over here? It's doing pretty well. I think I'd like to go into this one. He goes, oh, no. He goes, no-loaded funds don't do as well as loaded funds and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I found out was, of course, the load was his commission. So every time I put money in the loaded fund, he got paid, but he wasn't telling me that.
Yep.
So I instantly sold out of all of our mutual funds, to which generated a phone call from him, and he asked me what I was doing. And I told him I just wasn't comfortable with where we were, so I'm going to go a different route. And then I sat out to learn everything I could possibly learn about mutual funds at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I studied, bought some no-load mutual funds, did really well. And then when we found out that we were expecting, you know, it's a knowledge thing, right? It's overcoming. That's another roadblock. As a matter of fact, one of the next books I'm working on is 10 Roadblocks to Successful Investing.
Ah, okay.
So I'm going to talk about like things like emotionality and how that plays a part and how you can actually use emotionality of the market to actually build wealth. It's kind of funny because a lot of people are, you know, money is not emotional. People are emotional about money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you can overcome that emotionality and learn how to use the market emotion for your gain, that's good. So emotionality is one of those roadblocks that I had to overcome because I was actually angry with the fact that I felt like I was being taken. So the way I overcame that was I stepped out and I started studying, and I wanted to know more. When my son was born, I studied the billionaires because I wanted to know how they got to be billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
So knowledge, right? One of the things we use in our program is we use the power of knowledge and the momentum of strategy to move people along the spectrum of financial independence. You won't find another book out there that really moves people along independently. Like, they could read my book. If they did what's in my book, it would move them along the path of independence, financial independence. They don't necessarily need to speak to me, although I think that they're going to get a lot more out of a conversation than they will reading the book, because I can deal with their individual situation. But that's one thing that makes our program unique, is that a person who is diligent and seeking knowledge can use the knowledge that's provided and the momentum of the strategies to actually move along that financial spectrum.
Amen. You talk about studying billionaires. What's one strategy that you teach that you discovered that the billionaires are doing?
I can tell you about two of them, but two that I'm really excited about. The first one, arbitrage.
Is what?
Arbitrage. Now, people will say, well, that's a fancy word for what? All that is the difference between the current price of a stock and a promised buyout. So, for instance, arbitrage in merger and acquisitions. If the company says, hey, if company A says, I'm going to buy company B for $6 a share, and the current stock price is $4.90 a share, and you buy it at $4.90 a share, when that merger and acquisition completes, they pay you $6 a share. So you just got $1.10 a share arbitrage. And that's almost that's one of my favorite. That's a Warren Buffett thing, right? So Warren Buffett does arbitrage very well, and sometimes you can get returns in anywhere from the 12-15% range all the way up to 30%, depending on at what point you enter and at what point the merger closes.
Okay.
So that's one of my favorites, and I've really been executing the strategy of arbitrage between first-degree black belt and second-degree black belt.
Okay. So now, that's you find out what companies are buying out someone, basically.
Yes, yes. Okay. There's actually websites that you can go out. There's a report that I follow weekly that comes out every Monday, or it's published every Sunday night, And it's just basically nothing more than tells you all the mergers and acquisitions that are going on and what the spread is. That spread is what you're trying to capture. So it's that's one of those conversations that I could put that in a book, and I talk about it in the Financial Black Belt Academy's Financial Self-Defense Training Guide. But you really need to learn from somebody who's doing it and actually walk through the process.
Yeah,
reading it. I mean, I'm currently reading a book about Warren Buffett's arbitrage and how he plays that in other things like spinoffs. Spinoffs is another great opportunity to unlock the value of companies. And so I look at spinoffs and try to figure out, is this something that I think has got potential to grow? And I study the company. So there's a lot of analytics that go into it. But that's the part of knowledge. By the time you get to financial black belt, you get to that first degree, you have to have a passion for it. You have to have a desire to position your money to make money for you.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be the key to going forward. And the other one is options trading, options contracts. That's that one I just started instituting last December. So I've been doing it pretty much for, 4 months now? Very heavily. And option contracts allow you to get paid a premium for the opportunity but not the obligation to either purchase or sell a stock at a certain price. And capturing that premium, you can actually increase your return on investment in your accounts, especially when the contracts expire and they don't execute, which means you get to keep the premium and you get to keep the stock so you can do it again. And I did that with Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel was one of the stocks I did it through. And I went through 9 cycles of where I would sell options contracts against my shares, and they would expire, and I get to keep the premium, and I would do it again. And I get to keep the premium, and I get to do it again. And I literally returned an additional 6.7% on my money that I had tied up in that particular stock. So those are the kind of things that you learn. And you, a financial black belt, the only way you're going to improve your position and achieve the next belt level is to become more of an investor and to study people like Warren Buffett and study people like Carl Icahn. Carl Icahn, he's an activist investor. He will get out there and he will buy a majority share in a company. He will put board members on, and then he'll put the company up for sale. Well, when a billionaire does something, you got to pay attention to it.
Because
they know what they're doing. And so I watch him a lot to see what companies he's going after and where he's increasing his share count. Because if he starts increasing his share count, I'm going to start paying attention.
Wow.
So those are some of the things that have, the knowledge-based type things that have helped me over and grow and become closer and closer to my third-degree black belt, which is what I'm working on now.
Amen. Amen. How are you marketing your financial black belt academy?
Well, with the winning proceeds from the pitch contest, I'm working with an expert marketer right now, and we're starting to develop how we're going to get that out there. We're trying to work through Chamber of Commerce and do some TED Talks is one way that we're trying to get out there and do it. Certainly, I'm always open to coming in and presenting the idea or pitching it in front of a company. So anybody out there who owns a small business and wants me to come in and pitch to see if there's an interest amongst their employees, I'm more than willing to do that. Social media and obviously promoting the book, getting the book out there. That's good. And trying to drive some website traffic. So we're hoping to convert with the earnings to an e-commerce platform where we can get more marketing on our website. Not marketing from other people, but I mean getting it out there so people can go there and you know, either purchase the book at a discounted rate. You know, on Amazon it's a certain price, but as an author I can discount it. So I want to try to get it on my website and drive some web traffic to that and stuff like that. So that's the way we're marketing right now.
Amen. Amen. Now, for someone who listened to all this and they're like, you know, that sounds good, but I don't know if it's for me, who would make your ideal client for your training program?
The ideal client, I think, would have a big enough why. You know, there's two things inside a person. Well, there's two aspects of a person. There's the drivers Those things are internal. Those are the things that are within us. Those are our values, our principles, the way we live our life. And then there's the motivators. Those are external to a person. Those are our situations and our circumstances in which we find ourselves. If the person is driven, if the person has a desire to overcome some of the mistakes they've been making, I should say he or she's been making, that's a good internal driver. It's when those circumstances and that driver kind of come together and that their why becomes big enough that they want to do something. It's no different than a person who walks into a martial arts studio. Most people want to go there. They have a driver, like, I wanted to recapture discipline. So that was my driver. My motivator was the fact that I was eating myself to death. So I was motivated and I was driven. I think that's the kind of person I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody who's not going to quit right after they get started. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to understand that the decisions that they're making, there's going to be some level of pain to it, but once they get beyond that pain, they're going to start reaping the benefits of everything they've been doing. And they've got to be somebody who has enough vision to look beyond the risk and see the opportunity that lies out there. Mm. And they've got to want to go get it. And if they want to go get it, we can help them go get it.
Amen. Amen. Now, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, maybe to ask a question or find out more information on the Financial Black Belt Academy, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, definitely when they want to go to the website, which is financialblackbelt.us, there is a contact form there. They could also just email me, ken@financialblackbelt.us. So either one of those two ways is really good, and then we can start the conversation. We can also connect on LinkedIn. I am on LinkedIn. Do use social media quite a bit, so they can search for Ken Rupert on LinkedIn, and they'll see my picture there in my uniform, and they'll know it's me. And, of course, the Financial Black Belt Academy is mentioned prominently on my LinkedIn page.
All right. And like I said, I'll be putting links to all this in the show notes down below, folks, so that you can just click through and be taken straight there. Amen. Ken, thank you for coming back on the program today and catching us up on everything that's been going on in your life. I mean, congratulations again. You're awesome. I know God is using you to help others. This plan sounds so good. You know, that fact's established by his favor on your life and winning that recent competition and the blessing that it's bringing with it. Amen.
Amen. I thank you for your time, your energy, and for allowing me to come on and share something that I'm extremely passionate about and extremely driven.
Amen. On. Amen. Folks, you need to get in touch with Ken Rupert. Find out how his training system can help you. Even if you feel you don't need it, I can guarantee you know somebody who does. Won't you allow God to help those people by having you be the one that connects them with Ken? Help them get together. You know, check into it for yourself. Like I said, unless you're that ninth degree financial black belt expert, you can use his services to move to the next level. Doesn't matter where you're at. You know, understand that this is not about, you know, a flash in the pan, let's get rich, you know, by this weekend type of thing. You heard him. He's been working at 18 years and he's at his second degree working on his third degree. I mean, this is a long-term commitment, but it shows progress every step of the way. You're not going to be alone going through this stuff. Ken will be right there to guide you along. That he's your mentor, your coach, and all this. So, you know, don't limit what God can do. Just go ahead and get in touch with Ken. See what you can do to improve your situation. You may be even led by God to purchase the program for someone that you deeply care about. Don't limit God. Amen. Get in touch with Ken today. Get control of your finances or help someone else get control of theirs. Amen. Ken, thank you again for coming back on the program today.
Thank you, Bob. It's been a blessing.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Ken Rupert and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.